Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America N.A., member FDIC.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. That's us. And we're presented by Progressive Insurance. And we are coming to you very live from above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17. So, according to Yahoo Sports' Charles Robinson, the Bears are very, very, that's two verys, smitten. They're smitten with Brian Flores. But there are two keys when it comes to Flores and the control he ultimately wants within the organization. So, would Brian Flores be a good fit with the Chicago Bears? Key? According to Robinson, on the Holly and Smith podcast, this is a quote, for Chicago to reel him in, they have to talk to Flores and go, okay, the general manager hire is going to be someone you're comfortable with and you want to be connected with. And it's also going to be someone who's comfortable letting you take the lead in the organization, i.e. Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch. So, what do you like? Where are you with all this, Key?
Yeah, he should. He should get the opportunity, just like a Kyle Shanahan, a John Lynch, and many others before and after. You look at Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean. Those guys came to Buffalo together. So I think when you look at the Chicago Bears in the situation, and if they're really serious about Brian Flores, then they need to really sit down and talk with the general manager prospect as well as Brian, make sure that they're all on the same page, make sure they can coexist. So because what he does not want to do is go through the same issues and situation that he had in Miami with Chris Greer. I don't blame him at all for that. When you dive into things deeper, things could have played out deeper or better in Miami for Brian Flores. If you go back to the beginning stages when he was hired, his offensive coordinator originally was Jim Caldwell. Jim Caldwell came under some health issues. He had to step aside. Shane Gailey entered, convinced Chris Greer and company to draft Tua. Then he steps down, retires again, and then all of a sudden there's co-offensive coordinators that he's dealing with. Then he wanted to get the Deshaun Watson situation, try to figure out what that was going to be all about. It didn't work out. So he was ultimately stuck with Tua at the quarterback spot, and then they went on a nice run, and then he eventually got fired. So this time around, if he takes a job, he's got to put the right staff around him and the right people.
Okay, so that leads to the question, because in one of the things mentioned about Flores was how many OCs he had in Miami, right? George Godsey, Eric Studsville, co-offensive coordinators in 2021, right? Chan Gailey in 2020, Chad O'Shea.
But see, that's a myth, though, Max.
That's what I wanted to know, myth or reality.
Yeah, because you think about it. I said it in the beginning. When he got hired, it was Jim Caldwell. Jim Caldwell had some health issues. He had to step aside. They had to figure out who the coordinators were going to be. It became Chan Gailey. Chan Gailey then abruptly departed. And then all of a sudden, you look at George Godsey and then Eric Studeville, and then they became co-coordinators in the situation in 2021. So it's not like he's had a million different coordinators that he just keeps firing and hiring and firing and hiring. So there's just like this myth that he's got like a different coordinator and he's been in the league 10 years when that's not true.
And, you know, Key, you think about what it could be if you have Brian Flores, you have Jim Caldwell as your OC. If that's a package deal, if it can work out that way, I think that puts him in a unique situation. And look, Key said it. Tua was forced on Brian Flores. And when you don't have communication or you feel like as if there's a rift between you and your general manager, being on the same page about orchestrating what your staff is and understanding what kind of control you have, taking that kind of position of power from the beginning is a completely different scenario than what the Dolphins presented him.
Yeah, you want to make sure if you're Brian Flores, you got Justin Fields at the quarterback spot.
Exactly.
You go out there and you hire a guy like Jim Caldwell. He's coach Matthew Stafford. He tried to get things turned around. He went to a Super Bowl in Indianapolis. So you know he knows what he's doing. He is a quiet quarterback, offensive mind, quarterback whisperer and offensive mind. To go even further, you put that staff together. There's a guy named Marvin Lewis who's sitting out there itching to come back and be a defensive coordinator if he can't get a head coaching job in the National Football League. So you put that staff together with Jim Caldwell. You grab a little Marvin Lewis in the mix with you. You now got some veteran head coaching experience around you. This is like a best case scenario for Chicago Bears, in my opinion.
What's interesting about that, we know that Justin Fields has talent at quarterback. We saw it in college, and he flashed sometimes in the pros. We know Brian Flores has certain qualities of a successful head coach. Team doesn't quit on him. He's had a winning record a couple seasons now, a double-digit wins record, right? We don't know how good Fields can be. We're going to find out. Mm-hmm. And we also don't know how good Flores can be. We're going to find out. But let's say we had that, Key, the exact scenario you just described. Fields is your quarterback. You got Flores as your head coach. You got coordinators,
Caldwell
and Marvin Lewis, like, you know, with head coaching experience, the whole thing. You said that's best case scenario for the Bears. How long before we find out how good that team could be?
I would think you got to look at draft picks. You got to look at money to spend on free agency. You got to look at all that. But it's got to be a two-year type situation. It can't be hitting on the ground and running because you still got a young quarterback that has little experience and was kind of put in and out of the lineup with Matt Nagy and company. So you're starting from ground zero all over again. So you got to give it some time. And I think this is a perfect situation for Chicago. You hire a guy like that, and you give it some time. You give it some time to come along, let him hire the right offensive coordinator. Now, look, if you go out there and you hire Harbaugh, they're going to want immediate success yesterday. Even Brian Daboll, for that matter, Ryan Day, for that matter, at Ohio State, they're going to look for instant success in Chicago because they're going to automatically assume, oh, you coached him before. You need to get him to play a certain way. And so that pressure is a little different than hiring a dude like Brian Flores. You're not expecting to hit pay dirt immediately because everything will be so new.
I don't know about that, Key. I think there will be equal amount of pressure on a guy like Brian Flores considering the way he's gotten his teams to fight for him in Miami, right? And that's the one thing you've talked about this team with Matt Nagy. You've heard that players in the locker room kind of like him, but have they fought for him the way they would fight for Brian Flores? And I will say this, the pressure element of this could be greater next year, because if Aaron Rodgers leaves Green Bay, that whole division is open. And you're sitting there as a Bears fan saying, hey, I know we're a couple of pieces away. There's a lot of things we have to do that's additive, but this thing is us. It's up for the grabbing.
You're talking
about
taking. You guys are talking about the same thing from two different points of view. I think you're both right. Jay, you're identifying what fans are going to feel.
Yes.
And Key is identifying what they should feel, because I agree. Were I a Bears fan, and for some stupid reason, like, you can't really choose who you root for in certain ways, I'm rooting for the Bears to get this right because I know what football means in that town. They've never had a great quarterback. They finally got it. So the fact is, if I'm a Bears fan, Flores took over that team from Gase. They lost, like, every game in the beginning. It could be a disaster for the first 5-10 games, right? I would give him, I'm not saying the fans will, I'm saying they ought to. That market, if that were to happen, give him a two-year runway. And then in year three, you find out if you have the goods. And I suspect you do. The only question I'd have is how good. Is that combination, that situation that Key identified, a Super Bowl possibility? Because that's what they care about. Or are they going to plateau at a certain point? But I think you will be a strong organization with that
about
setup.
It's all about your staff and your support system and your surroundings.
I'm just asking you, Max, if Aaron Rodgers does leave Green Bay, and now you talk about a team like Minnesota is primed to start winning that division.
Yeah.
If they start winning it over, you're sitting there saying, okay, Brian, like.
No doubt. And you know what? Like, the fans will be going nuts, and they might get upset, but you know who won't quit on them? The team. And that's why I'd hire Brian Flores. As you said, Jay, listen to the Man in the Arena podcast, a 10-part series exploring how sports has an impact on our everyday lives through the lens of Tom Brady's career. It turns out I'm the motivation for the greatest of all time. Brought to you by State Farm and available wherever you get your podcasts. One team is in the divisional round for the first time in a while. Well, we're going to tell you why we should get used to it. That's next. Keyshawn, J. Will and Max, ESPN Radio, ESPN 2.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Rex in studio. Who does Joe Burrow remind you of?
He reminds me of Tom Brady. Earlier in the season, I mentioned it. His mannerism, but his leadership. And in the biggest moments, this guy is the calmest. And he's got just a hired killer mentality. And that's what he reminds me of Tom Brady. And 10 years from now, we're going to say, this guy's the next Joe Burrow.
I hear that. I think Joe Burrow's now ahead of Tom, like in terms of their age, when they came out, how advanced they are, all that stuff. Brady wasn't asked to carry that offense early on. Burrow's special, of course, way off from being Tom Brady.
Let's see if it translates to Super
No
Bowls.
Doubt. If you get to one-third of what Brady did, you're in the Hall of Fame. Keyshawn, J. Will and Max is presented by Progressive Insurance with more than 30 unique coverage options available. Progressive knows small business. Learn more at ProgressiveCommercial.com. So,
get it, Key. Get it.
You heard Rex Ryan rave about Joe Burrow. Everyone's raving about Joe Burrow. The Bengals got their first playoff win in 31 years. You know, what was crazy? You know, say the last time they did something, this is what the world was like. There was like good ones for Joe Burrow. There was like,
Madonna had the number one song.
I think
Madonna.
Or she just released her album.
Yeah. Home Alone was like the top movie.
Home Alone was the top movie, and Michael Jordan had yet to win a championship.
Oh, Lord.
Last time the Bengals won a playoff game. Here's Joe Burrow on the excitement of the fans after that win.
Yeah, I think the fans were very excited, but I tried to downplay it and all that because this is how it's going to be from here on out. You know, this is a great win for us, but you know, this is the standard for, you know, the bare minimum every year going forward. You know, I think that's one of the biggest jobs of a quarterback is displaying confidence in yourself, and part of being a leader on the team is, you know, showing that confidence in all your other guys as well.
Key, I love that. I think there's even a better level of answer than that, but I'll mention that in a second. But what did you think about how Burrow responded?
I mean, he's the quarterback. He's the leader of the team. Everybody looks to him. But that is the standard now. They should be expected to be competing for a playoff spot every single year. As long as he's the quarterback, as long as Jamar Chase and Higgins is there and Tyler Boyd and Mixon are healthy, they should because they got a nice team. Young head coach and Zach Taylor, who was pretty much on the firing squad line, he's been removed since the beginning of the season. But when you look at it, Joe Burrow's saying all the right things. He may lead this team to a Super Bowl.
You see, I see what you guys are saying. I'm usually the one. I love leadership, and I love when people say things with confidence. I just there's a part of me when I hear Joe Burrow say that where I'm like, do you say that right now, or could you wait and just maybe not say anything, maybe talk about leadership in other ways, and maybe get to the playoffs again next year and make it a little bit more consistent before you start saying, well, at bare minimum, this is what we're going to do. We win playoff games. I'm like, you still have Lamar Jackson in your division. You still have Mike Tomlin in your division. You still have a loaded Cleveland Browns team where it feels like they're a quarterback away or who knows what they could be. There's a slight part of me where I'm like, don't put the cart before the horse just yet. Like, just
let your play continue to build that consistency to get there. And I hear you guys are saying, hey, go for it right now. I'm just, man, it's your career is a long time to say this is bare minimum.
I see it actually
every single year.
Yeah.
Every single year. He should feel that way, and his teammates should feel
I understand you can feel that way. I feel a lot of ways. I just don't always say it.
Right? Jay, I don't think
there's anything wrong with saying it.
I think not only is there nothing wrong with saying it, I would refine it, and I totally disagree with you about this. I love the fact that he said that, and he should and Key, you said competing for a playoff spot every year. What he's talking about ain't competing for a playoff spot.
It's winning a playoff game.
They got to get in the playoffs before they can do anything else.
No, but he's saying win a playoff game at bare minimum.
The bare minimum for the Bengals from now on is a playoff win. I totally agree with that. Now, the other here's how I would have liked it even more. And he did allude to this in that same interview. You get into the playoffs. You can celebrate. You win the division. Celebrate. That's what you've been working for all year, right? Mm-hmm. Now the new season starts. He tamps down the celebration because they haven't done anything yet. Once the new season starts, a playoff win is meaningless. Until you win the Super Bowl, it's just another step. So I like that. Basically, Joe Burrow's point of view is, yeah, celebrate. We accomplished mission number one, which was win the division, get into the playoffs, right? Great, we can celebrate that. Winning a playoff game is not the goal. That's like winning a regular season game now.
No, but that's the bare minimum, though. If the bare minimum is winning the division and getting potentially a first-round bye or winning a playoff game is the bare minimum. They're not satisfied unless those sort of things take place. And I have no issue with it. I like the leadership. I'm fired up for it because the whole corporate spiel, oh, well, you know, we just want to play hard and I like my teammate. No, no, man, we're not doing that. We here, we've arrived, we a young bunch of wild animals, and this is how we're going to approach it. I like it 100%. Don't give me the old okey-doke corporate mess. No. Don't do that to me.
I'm not saying an okey-doke corporate mess key at all, and I'm not saying I don't like Joe Burrow. I love Joe Burrow. I think he is a badass in the game of the National Football League. All I'm saying is just erring the side of a little bit of hesitation there when you start saying things like, yeah, the bare minimum, this way. Like, a lot of things can go wrong all the time, and maybe it's because I have personal experience with kind of saying, like, this is what expectation is. Granted, my career went completely different to Joe Burrow. I'm not comparing at all. But it feels like it can kind of set you up for a little bit of a trap the media, right? With the media. Because you start saying these things.
Oh, the media, schmedia, man. That dude doing the right thing by leading his team.
I get
and
it.
Saying, Jay, that this is the bare minimum. We want to be here every single year. They all pumping excitement into it. And now you move on to the next game.
Don't turn my comment. I'm not saying he's not doing the right thing. All I'm saying is there's a little air of like taking a second with
you're
this.
A wise old head who's saying, hey, young man,
fire up, Joe Burrow, let's go.
Careful what
Key.
You do.
This is how Key lives his life. And I've lived mine a little bit differently, so we're going to come at this from different angles here.
But this is what I would say, Jay. This is why I make the distinction between the regular season and the postseason, right, in the playoffs.
He allows
for celebration. You have two goals. First, you can't think about the Super Bowl day one. You have to think about what you're trying to do. What you're trying to accomplish first is win your division, right? And otherwise, if you can't, make the playoffs. That's the main thing. But win your division if you can. Oh, they won the division. They made the playoffs. Yay, everybody, celebration, right? Now they win a playoff game. So he's like, that's okay, because that's what we set out to do. Now we're at the point where we're setting out to win a Super Bowl. So, hold on. So, if you win one game, I ain't celebrating that. It's good that we did it.
I feel you.
But mission is not accomplished yet. It's like that thing that goes around on social media now when they say, hey, Kobe, why aren't you smiling? You're up 2-0 in the finals. And he said, so mission's not accomplished. This is like winning a game in the finals, right? It's one. You need four. Joe Burrow just won his first out of what he plans on being four wins.
When's the last time they won a division, Key? You know?
Man, what was it?
I don't know. That's what I'm asking you.
No, I'm
31 years.
Yeah, the last time they won a division was I feel like when Marvin Lewis and Carson Palmer, but I don't know the exact year.
It's a while ago though, right?
Oh, it's been a minute.
When we start things at like
Dalton never won the division.
I don't believe so.
Really?
I don't believe so.
I don't know. It feels like it's been a while.
They won the division. I believe when Carson Palmer got hurt that year.
I thought they won.
But I don't have it in front of me, so you know, Jay threw that out there, and I don't have it in front of me, but I believe it's the year that Carson Palmer tore his ACL.
Around 6 or 7 years ago, I'm like, they got 2005? Off to a real hot start, and I thought they won double digits and won the division. I could be wrong.
I'm all for Joe Burrow firing it up. I'm all for him feeling a certain way. I think that when you look at it, he's a young guy with a bunch of young teammates that are still growing, and as they continue to grow, they're going to be around for a very, very long time.
Yeah.
My point was, though, about the question. If you want to say winning the division is bare minimum, okay, like, you did that. I'm like that. Mm-hmm. But you start going into the playoffs, and you're like, yeah, I'm like, all right, just slow down.
Think about this. I understand what you mean, cheap owner, the whole thing. He's putting pressure not only on himself, but on the entire organization. He is sending a message to the fans, to ownership, he's putting it on himself, everything. Like, hey, there is a new sheriff in town. There's a new standard now in Cincinnati. And let me tell you what the expectations are from my point of view.
I hear you can have that same expectation internally without saying it publicly. And my thing, it can backfire also.
Well, I mean,
you like people to be like, and I know we like media loves this because that's what leadership is. It can backfire too.
You're identifying precisely why people admire it, because there is the risk of failure, and yet he is willing to take that risk.
And I'm willing to ride with him.
I'm with you.
They won the division in 2013, 2015.
That's what I thought. Because I remember they were off to like a 5-0 start, something like that year. And they looked like maybe the most balanced team in the league. And it didn't end up that way, but they were quite good. That's right. So it wasn't that long ago that they won the division.
No, it was 13. It was 13, 15.
Okay.
Right. There you go. So twice in that little span. Yeah, they look good. They had a good offense, defense, the whole thing.
Okay.
But Andy.
Go, Joe! Don't listen to Jay. Go, Joe.
Joe Burrow.
I am not a Joe Burrow hater. I love Joe Burrow.
I just said go, Joe.
I was on a show yesterday saying, hey, we should maybe talk about the Bengals winning the Super Bowl. I just
put it this way, Jay. What you're saying is probably true in this sense. There's a very high likelihood that Joe Burrow will experience a season, at least one in his career, where he does not win a playoff game. That's not the mentality he has, and he's not publicly afraid. He's not afraid to publicly say,
I hear that.
Say, I'm not celebrating this because of course we're going to win a single. I can't guarantee a Super Bowl every year, but I can tell you this. We are I expect us to make the playoffs and advance every year. I love that.
Yes, Joe, go. Go, Joe, go.
Joe Thorough. They don't call him Joe Thorough for nothing, Jay.
I just look forward to seeing how next year will be when Lamar Jackson comes back and that team is healthy. There'll be a lot of interesting challenges.
You hear that, Joe? He says you're scared of Lamar. Let's go.
No, you're the worst.
Put it this way. Steelers are going to be competitive.
Okay.
But if you're the Bengals and the Ravens, you're looking at the North right now, like they got to be eyeing each other. They got to be. The Ravens always looking at the Steelers, but they got to have an eye now pointed toward the Bengals going, uh-oh. That's who we got to worry about. By the way, you know, Burrow and Lamar are like the same age. Like, Lamar Jackson's already won an MVP. Man. He's been in the league 4 years. He's the same age. Ooh. Joe Burrow should not apologize for what he said, Jay.
Don't put me in a corner. Don't you guys do
Joe Thorough, right. It's not corporate Joe, Jay. It's Joe Thorough. All right. One quarterback did need to apologize for his post-game comments.
In a 24-hour news cycle, everything feels like news.
Yeah, it's not news at all.
Let's find out what's hot news or not news.
Key, well, you tell me. Is this hot news or is not news?
You're so scary, you're going to throw it to me.
Kimberly A. Martin said hi to her 3 times today. No response. I realized I couldn't see it. She had to have AirPods in.
I did.
Yes, you did.
You're on that morning conference every morning.
Yes, I got get up conference
call. She was listening
to
music.
I was listening. No, well, earlier I had the get up call at 6. When Max saw me, I was listening to music. Got a whole routine, man. Can't mess my flow. I got to get locked in.
This doesn't happen by accident.
Can we zoom in on a shoe game? Her shoe game is always so
fly.
Wait,
you know what? I wish we could get the cameras on it. I do a little something. I got my Collins on. Oh!
How many pairs of Nikes, Jordans
do we have?
Not
even that. Not that much. Nikes? I got 30-something J's. But that's not a lot. Like, I'm not a sneakerhead. I just like what I like.
Lies,
and more lies. I got about 30. It's not a lot.
Love ones. Like ones, fours, 11 cents.
Yes.
Are you ready to play hot news or not news, Kimberly?
Let's go.
Dak Prescott apologizes for his post-game comments about officials. Hot news or not news?
The apology is not hot news. He had to do it. Him saying it in the first place to me was hot news, because that seems unlike Dak in a moment where he should have taken accountability and he wanted to blame someone else. Hmm.
Yeah, it's not hot news at all. Kimberly's right. I mean, in the end, you didn't expect it from Dak Prescott, but I also expected for him to issue an apology. Whether he did it or somebody did it for him, it was going to happen.
He's captain of America's team. I mean, I kind of felt like he was going to, you know, redact that statement and start over. But I got to tell you, when we were all listening to the sound for the first time the other day, everybody was like, whoa, damn, yeah. that's out of character for Dak Prescott.
It is not news, but that was the very point of the apology, mm-hmm. is to take it from hot news to not news, mission accomplished. Mm-hmm. Joe Burrow saying, this is the standard. Kimberly, we were just talking about it. Jay wants Joe Burrow to be very corporate.
Yes, that's what Jay wants. Yeah, how you doing?
Oh,
there,
Jay just hit a shot.
Waste paper basket shot. Basketball.
No, look. we were just talking about it. No, yes. This is the standard, says Joe Thurrow. The bare minimum every year going forward for the Bengals, a playoff win. Hot news or not news?
I mean, it's hot news because he's young and he's saying it, but then again, I'm deliriously, delusionally all in on Joe Burrow. I don't care. He can do no wrong. The fact that he sitting there with those rose-colored glasses saying, you know, this is the standard. He's using a Mike Tomlinism, but that's what you want. That's why you believe in a guy like that, because he's like, this is the bare minimum. I don't care if we're in Cincinnati or wherever.
Yeah, it's not news to me, because this is who Joe is. Mm-hmm. I don't want him to be something that he's not. Try to play the game. I've said for many years, and I played with a lot of quarterbacks in my time, I did not like quarterbacks who just was like, oh, well, I'm going to do it this way. No, you don't let that dude over there be stiff. You be who you are, and I'm glad Joe is that.
Look, man, he's like Teflon Joe. I mean, he's wearing the print shades at the post presser. Purple Rain. Like, where are we going here with this? Like,
he's swag. Sweaters.
And he's like Charles Barkley. I hear what everybody's saying. Kimberly, my only point was.
What's your only point, babe?
We talked about they won a division for the first time, like, since, like, what, 14, 15, around that time?
13 and 15.
Okay, so I'm like, hey, if you're just saying, like, the standard is win the division and start from there, I'm like, I'm cool. When you start saying the standard is win a playoff game, I get it. I'm all about speaking things into existence. I just sometimes, as a young player, I'm like, could we just wait a couple years?
Nah, son. Nah. Okay.
This is not news, because, you know, he's just a confident player. Let me tell you how cool Joe Burrow is.
Corporate Jay.
There'll be a game. It'll be an AFC championship game, something like that. And it's going to end on a Joe Burrow interception one of these years. And he's afterwards going to be like, yeah, you know, that's the way it goes sometimes. And everyone's going to be like, yep, and not even have anything to say. Okay. Like, he's not afraid to take chances. That is in his nature. He is a great player.
I need my quarterback to have swag, man.
Swag. Yeah,
like the Titans getting Derrick Henry back for the divisional playoff, Kimberly. Is that hot news or not news?
It is hot news, because we've been talking since Halloween, since he went down with this injury. When are we going to see Derrick Henry back on the field? It sounds like we are close to that moment, people. He practiced in pads yesterday. Woo! This whole week is leading up to the return of the King, and this is great for a Titans team that's the top seed in the AFC.
It is hot news. The only thing about it, though, for me is it makes me a little nervous and a little afraid, because you get your big toy back and then all of a sudden you go away from what got you the number one seed late in the season. You go away from that, whatever that was, whatever philosophy you had down the stretch, all of a sudden you get away from it because you got one of the most dynamic playmakers in the NFL back on your team and in the backfield, and all of a sudden you decide that that's the way you're going to try to go to accomplish this next round. So you got to be careful.
I hear what you're saying, Key. I still think it's hot news, because you do have to be careful. But whatever I can do to limit the amount of time that Joe Thurrow is on the field, controlling that possession, that clock, Derrick Henry allows me to do that, I'm taking it.
It is hot news, but I'll tell you, it's not why everyone thinks. I don't think. Listen, a running game is about your O-line more than anything, way more than your quarterback. It's your running back. It's about your O-line. Running back contributes. And their running game, it was all over SportsCenter, has not fallen off. If anything, it's gotten a little more efficient, a little better without Derrick Henry. It's about the O-line. But Derrick Henry is a money on the line player. We saw it in last year's playoffs. Everyone knows what's coming. Mm-hmm, you give Derrick Henry the rock in the playoffs, he's putting up 150 plus yards. It's hot news.
I ain't trying to tackle that dude.
Andy wears you down, right? He ain't getting worn down. The defense is getting worn down. Mike Tomlin says all options are on the table at quarterback. Kimberly, hot news or not news?
That's not news because we already knew that. Have we seen the Steelers situation?
In related news, the weatherman says the sky is blue.
Yeah, no, it'd be news if Tomlin said, you know what? I don't think we're going to address the QB situation. We'll just wait and see if Ben comes back. That'd be hot news. But no, Mason Rudolph, Dwayne Haskins, they haven't proven anything. So all options are on the table.
Not news. We all knew, like Kimberly said, like you have who playing quarterback? You have to address it every which way, whether it's via trade, whether it's through the draft, whether it's through free agency, through tryouts, whatever the case is, you've got to get that position right. So it's not news.
It's hot news to me because it's actually when you hear him say it, my man talks about a global crisis. He throws in a global crisis. I'm like, what the hell?
No, he's like, global from a global point of view.
Global is one of those Tomlinism words. Yes.
So I guess just the way he says things make it hot news because he's so damn interesting.
You want to hear it? Here it is. Here's Mike Tomlin.
All the options are on the table, but those decisions are interrelated based on our global needs.
What is it? The Cuban Missile Crisis?
Global needs.
We have to improve our football team. There's two major ways that you do it. You do it through free agency, and you do it through the draft.
Global needs Tuesday Tomlin. Like, I love these things.
This is it.
It's not news because of what Kimberly said. What would have been news if he comes out and goes, not all options are on the table. We are not interested in drafting a quarterback, or we're not interested in any of these. That would have been hot
Kimberly,
news.
What are global Steeler needs? I'm confused.
Global needs? That is just – I mean, they got a lot. We don't have the time to talk about all the global needs the Steeler have, starting at QB. They need better defense. They need a better O-line. Mm. Corners. Yeah.
They got OC, global
DC,
needs.
Yeah, global. They got a lot of
Cut down your carbon emissions, everything. That's Kimberly A. Martin. She is covering Bucks Rams on Sunday. What should we be watching for, Kim?
The trenches. O-line. O-line versus that Rams front. You know, Brady, we talk about his age all the time. You know, for him to be missing, well, I won't say missing, but for Tristan Wirfs to be in a boot all week long, there's a possibility that he could be in a boot all week long and then they try to test it out, that ankle, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. That's not what you want. When
Jensen,
you've got,
too.
The center, Jensen, and then Wirfs' backup, Josh Wells, is also banged up. And you're going against Von Miller, Aaron Donald, Leonard Floyd. This is not the situation that you want for your 44-year-old quarterback who you know get – I don't want to say he wilts under pressure. He does not. But you can tell when that pressure comes and they're knocking him
around. He's not exactly Justin Herbert.
He's not. He's doesn't stay that cool
Avocado
in the pocket.
Avocado can only take you so far.
Avocado ice cream.
I think that's exactly right. We're going to fight. If Brady does it now, he wins a Super Bowl with the line banged up.
Well, you're still going to say Brady's greatest, done.
No, I'll say it's his greatest accomplishment.
Play 10 more years. We know how. You're the Brady guy.
Yeah, I'm his motivation.
Yeah, you are.
I'm a Super Bowl champion, as a matter of fact.
Jay, let's go.
I'd rather be Lex Luthor than one of you non-entities.
All right, Max, Tom Brady, Kellerman, let's go.
Two teams couldn't close late. It left both coaches answering some very tough questions.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today. The number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.
The Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Podcast. From Cameron Indoor to the Coliseum and everywhere in between, from A to Z.
All right, we're going, as you heard, A to Z. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max were presented by Progressive Insurance. Cliff Kingsbury responded to the late season struggles. Jay mentioned it on this show yesterday. Jay, I gave you credit on TV a couple times yesterday. Terrific new show,
Thank
This
you.
Just In. Handsome host, Max Kellerman, 2 p.m. Eastern.
Do you still have to say handsome every time?
Every time. Jay, you looked it up. 9 straight seasons where Cliff Kingsbury's team fall off, well, a cliff. And in the second half. And he was asked about it. I mean, over the last 3 seasons in Arizona, he's lost 7 of 9, 5 of 7, and now 5 of 6 at the end of the year. Here is Cliff Kingsbury on why his team struggle late in the season.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I haven't done the research on that exactly, back to the Texas Tech years. But, you know, the last couple, for whatever reasons, we haven't been as sharp, and that's something I got to continue to evaluate and figure out what we need to do, whether it's practice structure or different things of that nature, because we got to be better. This league is about closing strong and building momentum into the playoffs, and unfortunately, we didn't do that.
Kingsbury was just living his life, and then Jay had to dig up this stat, and now the whole world's asking him about it. What do you think about how he responded to the question?
Germ-spreading Jay.
Corporate germ-spreader. Look at this.
I would say he needs to figure it out. He figured out how to show his house during the draft. Ooh. He needs to figure out how to fix what their problems are late in the seasons. What you laughing at, Jay?
He said he figured out how to show his house during the draft.
Am I lying?
No, you're not.
No, you're not lying. That's what fresh I'm saying, house, though. Go ahead.
I might move to Arizona if he's selling
it. I mean, he needs to figure it out. That's why you have scouts. That's why you have advanced scouting, and you do self-checking, self-evaluations in the offseason.
Yeah,
get
and
it
that,
done.
That house is going to be for sale pretty soon. I'm thinking about it.
But look, I mean, the reality is he's closed out this season, the last 9 years of his career, in a pretty poor way. But they still have shown improvement overall in his 3 years as a head coach of the Arizona Cardinals. Key, I guess the question I'll ask you, if you were the owner of the team, would you extend him, and how many years would you extend him?
First of all, I have to be sold on him and the quarterback, their combination together.
Mm-hmm. But you're going to pay Kyler, though, right? You're going to pay Kyler.
I got to make that decision, because if I'm moving on from Cliff Kingsbury, how do I know my next head coach wants that type of quarterback in play?
Kyler.
Now I got to go and find somebody specifically willing to work with Kyler Murray, which we think he's a phenomenal dynamic player. I can ask many coaches around the National Football League that I've already asked to talk to that don't think he's like that.
I've watched you look at passes, and when you don't even know when anyone's looking at you, and you're just like, oh, because of the quarterbacks you had in your career, you go, oh, those are like handoffs. Like, you love the way he puts the ball in the receiver's hand.
I enjoy his ability to throw the football and his accuracy and things of that nature. But you're at a disadvantage and somewhat a deficiency when he's not in the games because he's hurt because of his size and his durability.
He has a thing
on
about
top of that, if a defense decides to corral him and put him in the pocket like the Rams did the other night, then what good is he to me if he can't get outside the pocket and throw the football?
Sure, people have been discriminated against for too long. Can't get on the rides at the amusement parks.
Will you
now
stop,
they don't need
man?
Keyshawn Johnson going after.
Will you
Why
stop?
Are you looking at me? I'm 6'2", man.
I'm
are you looking
talking
at me?
About me. I've experienced it.
All right, listen, man, I'm tall.
So Evan says, "What are you talking about?"
I'm allowed on the rides now.
All right.
Are you Evan?
Are you Evan?
I went last summer. I'm allowed on the rides.
What?
Disney World, baby.
What?
He's like, Key, lift me up a little bit when they go to the.
Where do lifts in the shoes?
Listen, I'll tell you the thing about Kingsbury, though, getting back to Kingsbury, because we got something else to do, too. You got to adjust to the adjustment. Kingsbury, this is real simple to me. It's not that complicated. Oh, practice. Blah, blah, blah. No, Cliff, you have talent. But if all you can do is jump out to a lead, you're a front runner. It's just a parlor trick. They will adjust. Can you adjust to the adjustment? Either you can and you can be great, or you can't and you'll be okay because you do have some talent. That's it. That's it. He has to make adjustments. If you collapse in every single second half, they're adjusting to you, and you are not doing it back.
Self-evaluation in the offseason.
Mm. No doubt. So, moving along, unranked Florida State upset number 6 Duke in overtime.
From one Coach K to another Coach K?
79-78. This is head coach Leonard Hamilton's 55th win against an AP top 25 opponent when unranked, surpassing Bobby Knight for the most by any coach in the AP poll era. And Florida State has now won 13 straight overtime games, extending the longest streak in Division I history. Here's what Coach K said they can learn from the loss.
I think the only way you learn is through experience. You know, you can't replicate that in a practice session, you know, because you're not going to play against anybody that good in a practice session. And so that's part of a growth process, you know, for we got a lot of young guys. You got to learn from being in these experience, you know, in this type of thing, you know,
Jay,
and move
you
forward.
You won a national title with Coach K. You were two-time player of the year, under Coach K. What stood out about this loss for your beloved Blue Devils?
Well, number one, this is their third true road game. They played a lot of neutral site games. Florida State was way more physical than them. And I agree with Coach K. Everybody can learn from these situations. I come from that background. And one of the things that I felt like the coaching staff needs to continue to learn about their team is when you go a 1-4 flat for Wendell Moore down the stretch, I'm watching Pablo Boncaro have 29 points in this game and absolutely light them up in those scenarios. I wouldn't have gone 1-4 flat. Now, I'm not Coach K, but I would have found a way to get the ball in the hands of Pablo down the stretch, considering the game
hasn't forgotten that stuff. What's going on, do you think?
I don't know what the hell is going on in these in-the-game scenarios. You know, I know that he missed the last game, and now there's a lot of chatter around would John Shire have done that. So it is going to be intriguing, Key, to see how these end-of-game scenarios occur on the road when you get a chance to see what Coach K decides to do. And people are wondering, would John Shire have done the same thing?
Mm. Well, you would know.
That argument's interesting.
You would know. You would know, Jay, more than any of us.
I hear you. Well, I mean, we're going to keep finding out because I would have given the ball to Pablo Boncaro.
Mm. One of Coach K's all-time stars, Jay Will.
Ooh. Carlos Boozer? Oh.
Let's stop.
Mel Kiper Jr.'s mock draft is here, and wait until you hear how late in the first round he has his first quarterback going. That's next. Keyshawn, Jay Will, and Max on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and SiriusXM Channel 80.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, Jay Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.